Let's turn in our Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. We'll begin reading with verse 3. I want to talk to you about the title of the message today. It will be The People of the Cross, because that's what we are. Amen. I know that Jesus died on the cross. He resurrected from the dead, but he paid the price and did tremendous work at the cross. All that we have is what he did for us at the cross. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, on earth, in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Praise God, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our understanding to the truth of Scripture, Lord. Help us, God, to receive that which you need, which we need, Lord, to continue our walk with you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, we are the people of the cross, and by that I mean that we are people who are saved and born again of God's Spirit and have all that we have, all the promises of God, because Jesus went to the cross, and so he didn't stop there. He rose again from the dead and conquered death and is able to give eternal life to whosoever will. Praise the Lord. But spiritually, we are people who through salvation have died to our old life of sin and are in pursuing the new life within Christ. Amen. Paul the Apostle put it like this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we know that Paul considered himself dead to sinful life. He left the old life behind and he determined to walk before God from that point on. So he considered his old life to be crucified. A life in the pursuit of sin, he considered to be dead. And that's what it should be in us. Amen. Because the cross in the New Testament, it was made for no other reason but to die on. The Romans, and it's believed to have started in the Phoenicians, but crucifixion was the most horrible way of death, execution that's ever been invented by sinful mankind. And they didn't know what lethal injection was. But I want to tell you, dying on a cross was lethal. And they crucified people. And they paid their debt to society by dying for their robbery or thief or murder or whatever the crime was. And it was Rome's way of showing that if you live like this, you're going to die like this. And so the cross, Paul knew that it was something to die on, is what the understanding then. Amen. But what may it be with us? The cross is to die on. So we are to die in the sense, not physically like Jesus did, but we are to die to a life of sin that we might live to God. Praise the Lord. And so let's look at some of the blessings of the cross here and the people of the cross. And the people of the cross are God's chosen people first. We'll start with that. And verse 4, it says that just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God chose his church, his people, the people who would make the choice to serve him, to live for him. He marked those people out beforehand. Those who would be chosen are the ones who believed in Christ's work on the cross and gave their lives to him. And so people of the cross are chosen to be children of God. Verse 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And it's God. God didn't predestine certain people to be saved and certain people to be lost. It's God's will that all none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God has predestined his church to be a people of God, a people of the cross, a people who have died to self and sin, a people who've made it up their mind they're going to serve and live for God no matter what. And so those kind of people are on their way to heaven. Praise the Lord. And so we're chosen to be the children of God. Like the Apostle Paul, he was chosen as a vessel for the ministry. He was chosen to be an apostle to the Gentile. And he said, and Jesus said about the Apostle Paul, said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. That includes all races and colors of people. Amen. And so you and I, we're chosen to be a people that are come to Christ, but we are also a chosen people to be sanctified by the Spirit. Amen. You know what does sanctification means? It means separation from evil. Second, it means devotion to God. So that's what we are called to be. And without the cross, there could be no sanctification. There could be no forgiveness. There could be no pursuit of righteous life lived by Christ that God wanted us to. But with the cross, there is sanctification. Praise the Lord. Progressive work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. I met a guy one time that told me he was totally sanctified. And I worked with him, but after I worked with him a little while, I figured out that he wasn't totally sanctified. And so we believe in, yes, work. When a person comes to Christ, they are initially sanctified, but there's also work called progressive sanctification. Amen. And so if you hadn't made a lot of progress, you need to. Is that a nice way of saying it? Anyway, we need to progress on, get closer to God. And as you draw closer to God, sin becomes more sinful, evil becomes more evil. And you begin to recognize sin for what it is and what it's done to people. And as we grow in our work with the Lord, we become sanctified in the sense that we push evil aside and get close to God. Praise the Lord. And the chosen are those who believed. God chose his church to be marked out, called out a people. In the book of 1 Peter 2 and 9, you hear me quote it often. Will hear me quote it more often. And it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or a people of his own, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness, not called you to walk in darkness, but called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's what God has done for us. God has chosen us to be his people. Doesn't mean we're some special people above all others on the face of the earth. I want to tell you something. We're all saved by the same blood, regardless of what sins you committed before you were saved. And we're all alike. The ground is level at the cross. Amen. Somebody's not just a little bit better than you are, and though so they're more sanctified, they're more saved than you are. If you're saved, you're saved. If you're a child of God, you're headed for heaven. You've been born again of God's Spirit. You need him. You love him. You walk with him. You're chosen to follow him. You're not chosen to live for yourself. You're chosen to live for him. Praise the Lord. So you're a chosen person. Glory to God. In the natural realm, people are chosen for various things. In the sports world, they're chosen because they can run faster, jump higher, or do something better than somebody else. But when it comes to spiritual things, we're saved by the blood of Jesus, and all are lost until saved. But when saved, you're no longer lost. You're a child of God. You're one of God's chosen. Praise the Lord. And God has chosen us to be, verse 4 here it says, to be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. And a lot of people just assume to push that verse aside and don't want too much preaching on holiness anymore, because we might have to change something. Verse 4 says he's chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without love before him in love. Holy and without blame before him in love. Okay, so God wants us to be holy in his definition of it, not ours. Because I've heard some definitions of holiness that were no more holy than a... Anyway, they weren't holy. Amen. But holiness really is complete separation from evil. And that's who God is. Holiness can be defined as who God is. There's not the slightest hint of sin whatsoever in the character of God. He is completely pure, completely holy, and Jesus lived a completely pure, sinless, holy life when he lived here, his 33 years as Son of Man. Amen. And so we've been chosen to be children of God. You say, well, we can't be holy. Yes, we can get close to God, and God can put his holiness upon us, and we can be holy. And it is God who makes people holy. We are people who are birthed, born again of God's Spirit, and God and the Holy Spirit is God. Praise the Lord. We are people that want to be led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and God has made it where we can be. I don't know how God puts his Spirit upon each person, upon thousands of people across the earth. I don't have to know. I just know that he said he did, and he will. Praise the Lord. And the Word of God tells us, do not be drunken with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A lot of people are drunken on things, and, you know, wine's not the only thing that people are drunken on. People are drunken, they're so fed up, they're so drunk on self, they don't have any room for God in their life. My friend, God wants us not to be drunken with the things, not to be consumed with the things of this world, but to have our focus upon him. Because you are God's chosen people. We're people of the cross. Second of all, the people of the cross are an accepted people. In verse 5, it tells us there that having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. So people of the cross are an accepted people. Accepted as God's children. Verse 5 tells us there that we're predestined to adoption. Let me say this about predestination. Predestination doesn't mean that certain people have been born to go to hell and certain people have been born to be saved and go to heaven. There's some theology like that. Amen, that's not my theology. It's not biblical theology either. If that's true, then Jesus didn't die for the sins of the whole, for the whole world, only for those he predestined to be saved. I want to tell you something. Jesus, God's word, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, salvation is available to all peoples, amen, of the earth. That's the reason we spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. We wouldn't spend all of our time trying to figure out which ones were chosen, which ones weren't. Or which ones were predestined, which ones weren't. Okay, you got me. And so we're an accepted people, people who give their hearts to Jesus. And Jesus even made people, or God made us children of God through spiritual birth. Amen. 1 John 1:10, it says, he came, Jesus, he came to his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, he gave the authority to become the sons of God, even to those who believe upon his name. Amen. And so we know that God, it was intended for you to be a child of God in his born birth of the Spirit, born of the Spirit into his family. Praise God, being born of the Spirit, and you've been made, our citizenship is in heaven. We're made citizens of a different planet. Praise the Lord. Maybe not a different planet, but a different world. Amen. That God has planned for all of us. Praise the Lord. And so, children of God, to those who believe on his name, God accepts all who will choose to believe him and choose to follow him. Amen. And so we're an accepted people, accepted by God. None of us like to be rejected, do we? Amen. I heard of a story that a man was sitting in a restaurant, and just across the other side of the restaurant, there was a woman that kept looking at him. And so, you know, he thought nothing about it, you know, and in a little bit he looked back over and this woman was still looking at him. I said, what's the deal with this woman to keep looking at me? And so finally when he got through with his food and everything, he went over to where the woman was and said, is there something wrong? You keep looking at me. She said, do I know you from somewhere? She said, no. But she said, you look like my third husband. And he said, well, how many husbands have you had? She said, two. But God accepts us. We don't accept everything the world has to offer. You don't. But the man walked away and he rejected her. Okay, it's a good rejection probably. But Jesus rejects no one, but he accepts all who come to him. And God rejects no one because of color, race, culture, ethnic background. Jesus paid for all sins. And he will accept anyone who cries out to him for mercy. Praise God. In the book of Luke, it tells a story there of a Pharisee and a publican. Not a Republican, just a publican. And a publican was a tax collector. And they were, by the Jewish people, they were the most looked down on people because they were Jewish people that were hired by the Roman government to collect taxes for Rome. And so they, like many today, they didn't have any use at all for the IRS of their day. Okay? If you got a problem with that, you might ought to, you know, find a place at the altar, see if you can't pray through over it or something. Okay? But the Pharisee and the publican come to God and they pray in the temple, and the Pharisee prays thus with himself, and he says, "Dear God, I thank you I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector here beside me. I thank you, Lord, I'm not like them, like them. I fast twice a week, I give tithe of all that I possess." But the tax collector had a different kind of prayer. He would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat upon his chest and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, there's huge contrast here. One thought he was all right. As a matter of fact, he thought he was a little more spiritual than everybody else. He thought he was just a cut above the rest. And the publican or the sinner here, he knew he was lost. And he said, "Lord, would you just be merciful to me, a sinner?" And Jesus said, "I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted." Amen. So God accepts the person that cries out to him for mercy. And this word came to me as I was studying for the sermon today, and I still study for him every week. But the word shame comes to my mind. You can almost feel shame as this man cried out for mercy. You could almost see that he was ashamed the way he had lived. Perhaps he had collected taxes a little above of what he was supposed to collect, because that was usually the case with tax collectors. They collected enough, and whatever they could get above what Rome required was them, and many of them were wealthy because of that. That's why they were considered such sinners. But he knew he was lost, and he cried out, no doubt bowing his head, looking down to the ground, and was in shame. Let me ask you this. Do you bear the shame for something you did long ago, last night, last year, recently? And you just can't get rid of the shame, even though you know that Jesus did what he did for you? I want to tell you, God can take away your shame. There is no character in the Scripture in the New Testament had more of a reason to be ashamed than the Apostle Paul, because he persecuted the church before he was saved. And I know it was hard for him to live past the guilt and the shame that came with that. And he considered himself, before he was saved, the worst of sinners. But I want to tell you something. God can take away the shame of your life and whatever bothers you in your past, and nobody else but you may know about it. But if you're ashamed and you're dealing with shame today, God can take the shame away. Later on, the Apostle Paul would write, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also the Gentile." Praise God. So, if you're a child of God today, a people of the cross, are a accepted people. Amen. The blood of Jesus covering you when Jesus called you home, or it's your last time on the earth, he'll welcome you into heaven because you're one of his. Not only we are an accepted people, but we are a redeemed people. Verse 7 of our text there. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We are a redeemed people. Redeemed means that you've been bought at a price. And that we, as children of God, we've been bought out of the slavery of sin. Because sin is slavery. People are slaves to habits they wish they could be free of, but they can't be free of. People are in bondage to things, or a slave to things they don't want anybody else to know about. And they wouldn't, can't possibly think that somebody else would think this about them. But they are slaves to that thing. But I'm going to tell you, God has delivered millions of people from things they didn't think they could get rid of. Because they weren't ashamed to come to God and say, God, I have mercy on me, a sinner. I need you, God. And God can set us free. And that's the good news. God can set us free. Praise the Lord. And generally, the thing that you feel bad about, that you feel like you're a slave to, I want to tell you, Jesus came to set you free. Praise God, because sin is slavery. I remember a young man that I pastored in El Dorado, Texas, and he and his friend were riding around. Well, his name was Manuel. Amen. Praise God. And he and his friend were riding around, another friend there in the church. They'd both gotten saved out of a life of sin. And Manuel said, I want to go by the cemetery here. And his friend said, what for? What do you want to go there for? He said, I got to do something. And his friend was saying, oh, what's this crazy Manuel going to do, you know? Went to the cemetery and got to the cemetery, pulled out a shovel. What's this guy going to do, dig his own grave or something? But he dug a little hole with the shovel, took his pack of cigarettes and put it in the hole and covered it up. Said, God told me to bury this thing. And he never had a problem with it since. That's a work of God. And that's just a small thing, but God can do that, amen. Because God told him he could do it. He made him free. Praise the Lord. Because God makes people free. Free to follow Christ, not free to live in sin again, but free to follow Christ. We have a new master. Somebody else is in charge. Praise God. Amen. The carnal man would say, well, there's a new sheriff in town. But in a spiritual sense, we say Christ is Lord of our life. A new master. And we're a new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. We are a redeemed people, and therefore we will share Christ's eternity. Eternal life, eternal love, eternal hope. Things that the world can never purchase or give you. But Jesus in his cross did just that. Praise God. He gave eternal life. He gave eternal hope, eternal love, eternal relationship with God in heaven that money cannot buy. And I don't want to fail to bring this out, but have you ever been dirty physically? Man. You have. I'll take it. Answer it for you. But God's people, redeemed people, are a washed people. Amen. I grew up on a farm. I knew what it was to sweat. I still know what it is to sweat. I can't help this, okay? Just remember, manual labor was not a Mexican evangelist. Okay. So we are a redeemed people, a washed and a cleansed people from our sins. And we think of some people that could never be clean from the sins that they've committed. But let me share with you the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul points out the sins of the people here. He says, Do you not know that righteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Spells it out here. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm so glad that Paul didn't stop there. He pointed out all the things that are not going to be in heaven, and you can't be that and live like that and go to heaven. But he sees in this Corinthian church, he says, such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God saved people just like that, regardless of what they had done, and built a church in Corinth, one of the most perverted places on the planet at that time. But that's what God can do. Because we're a redeemed people. God saved people out of that and redeemed them by his blood. He thought it enough to shed his blood and pay the death penalty for their sins on Calvary because they needed to be redeemed, bought, purchased out of sin. Amen. And given the marvelous light of Christ. You say, well, I never did any of those things. Oh, but you've sinned, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. You say, well, I've never sinned. Let me visit with you for a few minutes, and I'll show you. And you can visit with me, and you can show me where God saved me out of. God saved us all from sin. Amen. And sin, it doesn't take a big sin, or well, there's not big sins and little sins to God. There's just sin. Not only are we a redeemed people, but the people of the cross are a people with an inheritance. They're born again into an inheritance. Praise the Lord. And so we're children of God, and we inherit God's eternity, which is far greater than any earthly possession you could inherit here in this life. Earthly people fight over an inheritance. They have lawsuits against one another. Kinfolks have lawsuits against one another because they didn't get enough inheritance. Or Billy Bob got more of the Indian head pennies than I did. Somebody got a little more than I did. And so, you know, fight over inheritance. But you know we have an inheritance if you're a child of God, if you're a person of the cross. 1 Peter 1:4 says that we've been born again into an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we've been people that have been saved and given an inheritance. People of the cross are people of an inheritance. My friend, it doesn't end here. Though your life may end here, or 70 or 80 or 100 years, amen, if you got 200, if you got a lot of faith. Anyway, it doesn't end here. It's reserved an inheritance in heaven for you. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, place in his eternity. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My friend, people of the cross have a most wondrous inheritance. And we're people that are sealed, last of all. You're sealed by the Spirit, stamped, marked out as God's people. Amen. Sealed with the Spirit of God. Amen. We belong to him. We are people of the cross. Praise the Lord.